We have spoken about things which limit capacities. That's labor, that is regulation, it could be natural causes, it could be equipment failures, it could be technology glitches, raw materials, or a combination of all these things. So when you are, whatever strategy you're adopting, lead strategy, as I've discussed, or I'll be coming to lag strategy and the other kinds of strategies, you have to keep in mind all these obstacles and limitations also that you might have to confront. So the limiting factor has to be kept in mind, because this can severely hamper your ability to supply and ability to supply in a timely manner. This balance is very important. There are various studies, models, there are various suggestions, the brainstorming papers, etc., which have ideas in terms of how you can create these balances. So this is you have a head office. For most entities, you have a head office, and then you have all the way trickling down to the decentralized version, right up to the last point of where your sale is happening or your service is being provided. Now, this capacity management has to trickle down from the top all the way down to that branch of local branches, whether it's hotels, whether it's airlines, whether it is a McDonald's, which at the head office is creating a strategy, but then it has to trickle down all the way to the local levels. So whatever your capacity management strategy is, you have to ensure that the communication systems, the delivery systems are ensuring that it is trickling down to the last point, and there is no inconsistency in. So for example, in the example that I was giving you for the restaurant, while you have a great experience about ordering their food online, or you have a great experience when you go to the restaurant in one location, but when you go to the same restaurant chain in another location, your experience is very different in terms of the supply sensitivity. So it's obviously not trickled down in a very consistent manner. So it's important that this capacity management is implemented at all levels relevant to the company, service provider, product provider, and the customer. So generally, you have the lead strategy, which I mentioned, then you have a lag strategy, or also what very often is called the, very often the lag strategy is also sometimes confused with the chase strategy. And in a lag strategy, you are not anticipating the demand in advance. What is happening is that you are preparing for this. You are enhancing your capacity planning. You are addressing it in real time as it is coming up. So for example, you have a disaster which happens. Okay, and in a disaster management situation, you could not have anticipated the demand for medical professionals, demand for medication, demand for transport, ambulances, all of those things, hospital beds, etc. So in this situation, you have found out your demand, and now the demand is there, the demand has happened, and now you are responding to the demand by now bringing in your resources to be able to address that higher traffic, higher demand and higher injured party traffic which is there. Likewise, an insurance company will have to address it, if for an unpredictable event, they will have to address it when post it happening. So this is these are ways of lag strategy. Now, chase strategy is also a lag strategy could be also for a one-time kind of situation. A chase strategy is also very often for industries where the demand is unpredictable. So your unpredictability, which is coming in, is then accordingly, you have to have all your other arrangements, whether it is subcontracting, whether it is asking customers to provide more resources by way of self-service, whether it is sharing capacity between different parts, So a lot of these aspects come in when you have this unpredictable demand and your chase strategy, where you have to alter the number of service providers, etc., use staff, temporary, part-time, off-role kind of arrangements. Now, some other seasonal and non-routine kind of industries or businesses which would require strategies other than, you know, a lead strategy or a level strategy, and more of an unpredictable, strategy, capacity management strategy, are, for example, you have your tax season. So in India, when you have to file, individuals have to file their taxes by July and corporates by, in September, October. So when you have this, then your CA, CA firms and tax experts, etc., are most busy during these phases. Yes, they are busy doing other stuff during the year, but the peak of their business and the workload comes during this period of tax season. So during this time, they may enhance their capacity by taking additional office space with a temporary arrangement, lease arrangement. They might, take on interns, CA interns, etc., larger number of interns to help them with the, mundane back-end processes, etc., while the seniors and the experts can work on the more key things. They might, because of the traffic which they would use on their systems, they might hire short-time contractual technology providers, vendors, and they onward may have their subcontracts, etc., for this period of time. Now, likewise, from a technology point of view, from the government's point of view, and we have our income tax portal, which is, an online portal, and everything has to now pretty much be done through that. So from the income tax department point of view, also their preparation in terms of, do they have the server capacity to manage the traffic that their site is going to receive? Do they have the bandwidth for that? All of those elements, would have to be prepared for it and be extra prepared for it in terms of managing the capacity during the tax season. Of course, it is maintained throughout the year, but the load during the peak seasons is, of course, higher by multitude. So you have various seasonal requirements, specific time requirements, whether it's a large industry or company, whether it's a small scale industry or company, and across a variety of goods and services. So for example, when you think of florists, or when you think of chocolates, or when you think of, those little teddy bears with hearts, what is the time when, the demand for them is the highest? When are they having highest sales? So during Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all of these events, while throughout the year people are having birthdays and anniversaries, etc., they are not concentrated on specific days. Whereas on days like Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, etc., there is a massive concentration of your demand on those specific dates and around those. So around that, you may have your florists having different tie-ups with their, where they procure their flowers from, different tie-ups with, for a space, or, in terms of their delivery partners, in terms of, hiring staff. So strategies will work based on, the seasonality of your demand as well. So level strategy is a strategy where most of the time your demand is fairly stable. We've been talking about, these strategies where you are having to respond just in time. You're having to, you do not have the luxury or benefit of knowing, preparing and planning for your capacity planning in advance. And you have to have, just in time response, or when you have seasonal where you are doing specific to that time frame. Now, there are certain industries where your demand is fairly routine and consistent throughout the year. There is no specific as such spike in a certain season. For example, routine electronics like batteries, you know, routine groceries that you buy on a regular basis, routine personal care products like toothpaste, soaps, etc., that you buy on a regular basis. So these, for these where the demand is fairly routine, here more of a level, as the word suggests, more of a level strategy would probably help. Now here there is a regular advertising promotion which becomes important. Now also you have certain times with, you know, in the routine phases, there are lull phases. So how can you develop these off peak demands during these lull phases? How can you push out inventory, when you have larger inventory, and how can you, push out the inventory during your lull phases? Now also, for example, when I was talking about the high-low pricing, when we were talking about putting groceries, lower price groceries far behind in the grocery store, and then putting higher price groceries, stacking them in aisles where, customers walk through the aisles of the higher price groceries on their way to the discounted products that they came for, then in that situation, it is inventory which is being pushed out, and the possibly the lower end products are your routine products on a regular basis, which have a fairly regular demand around. There is nothing, so regular capacity management for those is, what is required. Now, when we talk about in one of our future chapters, we are also going to be talking about customer queues and queuing theories. And you might think, is queuing as important as, requiring a theory behind it? And then you'll realize how important queue management is, and how there are so many queuing theories and strategies which companies adopt for servicing their customers well, and for ensuring, customer satisfaction, and for ensuring that they don't lose customers, they don't put off customers by having ineffective queues. So all of these elements come in. Coping strategy is again a strategy, where you have a sudden influx. For example, think of a call center. Now, a call center may have a sudden, very high influx for a certain reason, or they may, in general, if you see call centers, you could have call centers with very high traffic. So when you have industries like with very high traffic, then a coping strategy is a strategy which can be explored. So you have productivity targets, you have to manage your you have to be prepared with your capacity planning in a way that you are prepared for those higher loads. You are prepared for adapting your having a combination of various strategies, being prepared with your arrangements, input arrangements, so that you can supply effectively. Now, one of the other strategies that I want to mention is the match strategy. So we discussed the lead strategy, where you're anticipating your demand in advance, and then you're planning your you're getting your resources together and responding to your anticipated high demand. For example, a restaurant anticipating higher demand over a festive season or a certain occasion. Likewise, you have a strategy match, which is a combination of a lead and lag strategy. So very often you don't use companies and products and businesses don't use a single strategy. They use a combination of strategies which would work well for them. But regardless of the strategies you adopt, there should be as accurate as possible measurement of your gap, aligning your demand and supply capabilities, aligning your supply capabilities with the demand, making sure your resources are in place. Now, we have been talking about capacity planning and capacity management, and then there is resource management or resource planning. There's a difference between the two. Now, capacity planning, you are enhancing your capacity by way of bringing in your resources, whether by way of raw materials, technology, etc., and aligning your supply to the demand. Resource planning or resource allocation involves given the resources that you have, allocating those resources in the most optimal way possible. So that is the difference between capacity management and your resource management. Now, as with anything else, and we have been speaking about limitations and negativities, you cannot have an effective capacity planning strategy if you are not being realistic. If you are living in a theoretical scenario where the imagined or potential maximum product is what your productivity is, what you are buying for or targeting. Because in the realistic world, you have to keep your challenges in mind. Challenges being, your resource challenges, whether it's labor, whether it's regulation, whether it is raw material. Now, in India, we keep hearing about strikes, especially in factories, factory strikes for various reasons, unions, strikes for various reasons. Internationally, recently, in the last few years, talking about an exciting industry, which is the entertainment industry, a few years ago, there was a writer's strike because writers were demanding that their remunerations should be revised upward, because they are the ones who are the, a large part of the creativity which is going into creating successful content, and the remuneration that they get is nowhere close to what the producers and the, production houses and the actors and the other creative people get. So there was a massive writer's strike, and that doesn't mean that filming stopped. That doesn't mean that, especially television production stopped. A lot of filming was paused, but there was a lot of regular content in terms of your stand-up comedy, in terms of your talk shows, your hosts like Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, various other people who had to continue going on air. So that had to be substituted by by people writing themselves or looking for other alternatives. So your strikes could happen not just in a factory environment, which in the Indian setup, we are probably more familiar with strikes and bottlenecks in terms of factories, etc. But internationally, there was a writer strike. Then there was also a strike, actor strike also. So there are bottlenecks which can hamper your capacity planning. Now, one of the bottlenecks which is very, very relevant in the current world is your environmental factors. So you could have, and by environmental factors, I don't mean disasters like a tsunami or a storm or something like that. But you could have environmental factors which, are hampering in terms of, your product or service is a polluting thing, or you have to revise your capacity in a manner where you are not having a negative impact on the environment. So challenges in this day and age are extremely dynamic, and one should be aware that these could cause pauses or breaks in the chain of your matching your supply with the required demand. So these are the multiple strategies, individual combination of those which are used by companies, which are used by providers of goods and services, and we have seen through a few of the examples how different industries adapt them to what their gap, what they understand as their best way to address the gap in their supply and demand. So winding up, capacity planning is very important because without effective capacity management, demand creation is fabulous, but if you're not able to service that demand, then there will be a real problem with it. So for example, in a previous chapter, when I was giving you example of that extremely flawed business, which was Theranos. Now, assuming Theranos's science had been right, product had been right, process had been right, here it was an idea scientifically flawed to begin with, and assuming that they had got all of that right, and then you had a demand for patients who wanted to have a massive surge with wanting to get their blood tested through Theranos. So it did happen that Theranos did see a surge in demand. This is before the entire model crashed and before the entire company and idea got exposed for the mess and inaccuracy that it was. But a lot of the patients have said that, we were ready, we started visiting, and the apparatus was just not available. The facility, while theoretically advertised, while brochures being there, but when we were ready to get the testing done, they were just not in a position to start implementing it. So assuming they had got everything right, capacity planning would have ensured that they are also servicing the customers at the right time. Here, of course, in this case, their product, their idea, everything was flawed. So even if they'd got their capacity right, they would probably have been, servicing in a highly inaccurate manner. But bottom line, your capacity planning and capacity planning management, effectivity in a realistic situation, keeping sight of the bottlenecks that you might face is a very important aspect of your service management, and keeping your customer satisfied, not just from a supply point of view, but also from a retention and bottom line point of view. Thank you.